Hey everybody, this is Danny Neri. I play Eva. So, we had some technical difficulties on this episode, as in, my track was totally fucked up and non-existent. We recorded this like 6 months ago, so I had to go back 6 months later and record all of mine and Eva's lines, which is not so easy to do when you're not in the moment. So, you'll notice this episode's a little bit different. Things will get back to normal next episode. I know that I'm going to be double-checking my audio tracks and making sure this shit doesn't happen again. Cheers and hail.
The following podcast has the explicit tag. It may contain mature language, situations and violence, and graphic descriptions. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to A Tale of Blood and Stone, a Shadow of the Demon Lord actual play. Starring Danny Neri as Eva, a Cambion desperate to escape her ancestry's fate. With Michael Waldschlager II as Four, a centaur-shaped clockwork whose pure heart is leading his quest to find his lost brothers. Also starring Chris Berlew as Tyrell, a human whose frail body is fueled by his lust for power. And guiding us through all the corruption and insanity, our Game Master, John Neri.
Father Mayhew brought you to a house, reluctantly brought you to a house. It's in a dilapidated section of Esker, and it's no one really lives there, and well, no one lives there, except for this person, apparently. And he was reluctant to do so, seemed kind of sketchy about it, took you into the house. It was very dark. We had a moment with Tyrell, where we found out that he is afraid of the dark.
Oh, poor Tyrell.
And you met, well, I don't know, did you actually see the ghoul?
No,
or you just okay? Yeah, you didn't see the ghoul, but you saw the horse. What?
Yeah, we saw the horse, and we put
the horse, and there was like a chest full of rancid meat.
Yeah. Yummy.
And made you kind of queasy. But then Mayhew began to try to explain to you that he felt bad for the thing. There was some empathy there. He let it take some of the bodies out of the graves and eat it, and he gave it dead things when he found it, and we have also lost Benjamin. I don't know if that... yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, I don't think we care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Four was on a back-and-forth sort of, like, stealth mission. He found Sia, the little boy, Benjamin's mother, and she was eventually taken and sequestered back into her home. A couple of guards were brought in, and Ben was then later seen by Four, flitting back and forth through the houses. Four eventually caught up with Benjamin, brought him back to the house, which is where he had a little moment where he was confronted with One, after Benjamin made him promise that they would come back for his mother, where One said a very similar thing to him about, promise me you won't go through with this. You remember that?
Yep. The burning baron in front of Four, and like the... Yeah. Got
yeah.
It.
Well, yeah. The right. Yep. And then your key stopped.
Yep.
So currently, Four, his key has stopped. Eva and Tyrell are in this room with Father Mayhew, discussing your next move. You have found out that this person inside of the house here will be able to take you guys through some sort of sewer tunnel system and get you out of the town. Father Mayhew knows the way to get to the place where he says he believes he can find like a cure or a way to create a cure to this strange plague that is going through Esker and spreading into Brildar.
I wonder if Four will be back soon. Where is he?
I'm sure we'll see him.
I hope so. I wouldn't want to see him hurt or anything.
Well, how long do you think you're going to wait?
How long until your guide is ready to take us out of town?
He's ready. He can go on at a moment's notice. He knows exactly where to go.
Will he eat people on the way? I hope not.
He seems very put off by what you're saying, and he just comes back with, well, perhaps when we return with a cure, maybe the Benjamin's corpse will still be there, and we can either give him a proper burial, or I'll bring his corpse to my friend here. I'm not certain what else you want from me here. He doesn't speak too well, and I have always felt like I needed to help him. It was like it was the new god telling me that this is someone that I needed to help.
I'm not shaming you. He could just dispose of some people. So maybe we can feed you to him.
Bristles and sort of like goes a little white when you say that, but it's quite possible I don't even make it to our destination, lass, but I'm sure if you can drag my remains back, I suppose at that point it wouldn't matter. I'll be well on my way to the underworld and it wouldn't matter.
Is the underworld like purgatory? That stopping around between the two?
Yes. You know what? Let's just give you guys a because it goes into this, but we'll give you guys a reference point for this. It's sort of universally believed that when you die, your soul descends to the underworld, where it is sort of allowed to slowly renew itself and forget all of the things that you had done in life, and then the soul is reborn into a new person. So there is this cycle that goes on, but you never remember your past lives. That's the understanding. If you are a particularly wicked person, you go to hell and you get all of that corruption ripped out of you in the longest, most painful process possible, and then your soul is allowed to go to the underworld to do that process and then get reborn. So there is this cycle that happens with the souls. So when he mentions the underworld, he's just talking about the natural order of things.
Okay.
Or maybe the new god will have something better planned for me. I don't know. I've heard tale of other areas where a soul can go. It's much nicer, where you're allowed to remain yourself. And I have hopes that maybe my deeds in life will allow me to go to that place. But I'm sure you're well aware of your destination.
Very, very aware of where we are headed.
And he looks at you sort of surprised and says, oh, you're going with her?
Eva is going to smack him across the face.
So he takes, so you slap him good. Slap sound. And he sort of goes down because he's not... can't really take that too well. So he goes down and he kind of, oof, oh, and you hear rustling in the back and a door kind of like clumsily swings open and then there's this shuffling and then you see coming into the room and sort of coming into the darkness is this gray, ashy, bluish skinned thing. He's wearing nothing and you can see all his fiddly bits and it's generally a hairless body, and there is this like tongue that's slithering out of this like circular mouth, and these dead, sunken eyes, and there are these sores that are kind of open on its body, and it's hunched over in this like, just like very disgusting posture. And if you both could just quickly give me will challenge rolls, please, with one bane.
19.
15 with a bane.
Okay, so you both pass, so it doesn't matter. All right, so this thing comes lumbering into the room, and Mayhew stands up and tries to put himself in between you. He goes, no, don't! And no, please! And he's trying his best to hold it back, and he eventually is able to sort of subdue it, and it kind of huddles back, and he looks at you, and he says, oh, no, you've upset him. You've upset him. We need to calm things down. He's going to take us. He's going to take us to where we need to go. In fact, we probably need to go find Four sooner rather than later. Please, please. And he's urging the ghoul to sort of get back. Go back to your room. Back to your room. And it disappears through the door. But for a moment there, that was kind of weird.
Tyrell closes his book that he's been reading. And he just looks over to Eva. I guess we should go find Four now.
Do you know where we're going?
Yes, I know exactly where we're going.
He said I was going to go to hell.
Don't listen to the fool. He does not know the truth.
No, he doesn't. Let's go.
So Mayhew has disappeared with the ghoul. and you hear him rustling and speaking to it in hushed tones down the hallway from where they went. You head back to the staircase, and both of you, as you approach the staircase to head back up out the door, please give me perception rolls. Anybody succeed?
I did not succeed. Not even close.
I got a 14.
All right. Torell, you guys are heading up the stairs, and you hear multiple voices outside of the door. Can't make anything yet, as there's rustling behind you, there's rustling in front of you, but you do hear something that would give you pause, as you probably don't expect to hear anybody around here.
Torell puts his hand up and just puts one finger to his lips and looks at Eva. He points to his ear and then points outside. And then just proceeds to try to listen and see what he can hear.
Eva.
Yes.
Please make me a will challenge roll with two banes.
Fuck. Here we go. I got a 13. I passed.
Oh, well, good for you then. Okay, Torell, and, well, Eva now, you, this is what you hear. You hear some voices that you can't make out what they're saying, but there are definitely troops outside, crusaders. They are investigating the area. Over that way! Go that way! Yes, aye! And then you, at the steps sort of fade away as they appear to be fanning out. And then you don't hear anything for a few moments.
Is there a window I can kind of peek out?
If you would like to give me a fortune point, I will allow there to be some sort of visual way for you to see what's going on.
Fair enough.
And so yes, there is a window. It goes out to the right, and what you see is four inert, not moving. You're certain that his key has stopped.
Is there anybody around him?
At the present time, there is not anybody around him, but very shortly you hear some light, some like footsteps coming from your left as you're looking out, and you see Captain Reams come into view, and he starts pacing around four. Very slowly, he sort of takes in what he's looking at, and he puts his hands on four, and he's feeling around. And you notice that Captain Reams is looking very frail. He's looking sort of, I mean, he still has the bulk of an imposing captain, but his posture is such as if he feels weak. His skin color in his face is sort of pale. And give me a perception roll. Let's try to get you one other bit of information here. Perception challenge roll.
Nope. I rolled an 8.
Cool. So he goes, and Torell, you see him specifically grab the key. He finds it. He grabs it, and he starts tugging on it, and then you see him get very frustrated. And then he looks up, and he hauls off, and he slugs Four right in his face. And Four's head just sort of turns to the side and stays there, as he is an object.
How far away is he?
10 yards. 10 yards. Yep.
Is that within short range?
Yes.
Trell whispers to Eva, Captain Reams is outside in front of Four. You know, the captain that wants you dead.
Are we going to kill him?
It
won't be not be very pleasant, but I can try something.
Well, I don't think either you or I are going to go out and convince him to leave.
Either way, I think we should kill him. I mean, that would be the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Trell points up to the window and kind of wipes away a little bit more dirt so she can see through.
Okay. So, Eva, you take a peek out the window and you see him walking around, and he's very frustrated and frantic, and he looks to his right and he says, "Find the boy! He was with a boy!" And he sort of, he begins to stamp off in the opposite direction of the direction he yelled, but still around in the vicinity of the house. He's not going to go out of any sort of range from you. So if you want to do something, it would be, if to him, try to do something to him, it would be now. No one's leaving the area. Everyone is fanning out, looking for presumably the boy, but because you know from Four that he's presumably looking for you as well.
I will try to scare him first, but he may not be smart enough to leave. Then we dispense of him. Terrell pops up, and I'm casting Pox. So target one living creature within short range, intellect roll versus target strength.
Mm-hmm.
Stay on the table. So that is a 13.
Okay. That does not hit his strength. Oof. Keep in mind, now you also have fortune you can spend.
Okay. I'll spend it to make it a success. Trill kind of leans up the window and just whispers, Mayet Busuk. And we see on Captain Reams, his skin begins to erupt with these green weeping blisters. And they kind of start popping and oozing. He takes 3 points of damage, and he is frightened for one round.
Okay. You see these things happen, and then you expect him to cower, but you see him look down at his arms. He takes a look, and he goes, and as if he's being hurt, and then he stands up straighter, and he has not shown any signs of any fear. He immediately pulls a sword out of the scabbard, and then he pulls a strange-looking blade out of the belt from behind him. It's sort of got this like weird curve to it, and there are these strange markings on the blade that you can tell from where he is. And he starts looking around, and he's going to do a perception here. I'm going to give him some banes, because you guys are sort of hidden here. I'll give him 2 banes. Challenge roll, see if we can find you. Okay. Both of you make perception rolls now. God, I'm doing a lot of rolls here, but this is kind of important.
I rolled a 7.
11.
Okay, Eva, you notice that he is focusing on the house, and he appears to be trying to sort of, like, be coy about it. But he's beginning to stalk behind 4, and it looks like he's trying to hide his position.
So, I'm going to cast a spell if I can.
Sure.
Eva takes out, digs into her cloak, takes out a knife and cuts herself, and starts chanting, and she casts Claws of Darkness on the captain.
Very good. So, these tentacles come up, and tell me what happens.
They grab at his feet, and they tear at his legs, and they try and rip at him as the Demon Lord's favor comes and fucks this guy up.
Very cool. What's the duration? Oh, he's got peeled skin. It's grabbed onto those. They were sword, like open sores, right? They were popping. Yeah. So it's grabbed on. It's tearing the skin and it's holding him fast. And what's the duration on that?
1 round.
Okay. So it comes up. It rips him a little bit. It tears some of the flesh, and now there's blood flowing from him, and he screams, and the arms disappear, and you see him from behind 4, because you can still see him. He wasn't trying to, like, hide, but he was just putting something between you. He falls down to 1 knee, and he starts to scream, I need the boy! I need the boy! And he sort of sits there, and then you start to hear other footsteps. It is then you probably, Torel, do realize that he's a bit extra. No, you probably do realize that there is something else going on with Reams.
Strong fucker.
Yes, unfortunately, my attempt at making him run away did not succeed.
He's a badass. Well, douche-ass. He's a douchebag who's a badass.
I think we better hurry and get out of here quickly.
I believe you're correct.
We need to wake the four up. We need to turn his key.
Do you think you can sneak out there and get his key turned?
I can do it. The Demon Lord's on my side. Can you distract them?
I can do my best. I am low on my spells for the day.
It's okay. Once we get out of here, we can sleep.
And as she goes out, Terrell's going to cast a different spell on the captain.
Okay.
I'm going to cast Hex on him. So I have to make an intellect roll versus the target's will.
Mm-hmm. Yep, your target number is a 13.
I rolled a 15.
Okay.
So he is impaired.
Ooh, yes.
And any attacks I make against him, I gain a boon. And this will last for 1 minute or until he takes damage.
So for your reference, impaired is an affliction that you can put on somebody. And what it does is he makes all his attack and challenge rolls with 1 bane. So obviously banes and boons stack, and they cancel each other out, but this is a nice little affliction to put on somebody because everything he does for that duration or until he takes damage has a bane attached to it.
And as Eva goes to step out, Terrell just puts his hand on her shoulder and just looks out and just says, you know, Este Shrun Eke. And then he lets go of Eva and kind of pushes her out as the spell goes off.
Oh, you definitely hear footsteps and you hear a voice say, "We found the boy!" All right, Eva, what do you do? Tell me this next step, because as you open this door, we're dropping into combat rounds, so we're into fast turns. So we're going to give you and Torel a chance to do something.
So I am running towards 4, and I want to try and turn his key.
I want to call it agility. Like, give me an agility challenge roll. But I want to do this, though. When you get out there, during the movement portion, the men are back. They have the boy. So I'd like you to roll a Bane on this roll as you notice this stuff. And Reams sees you, and he's seething. And he's got that weird, like, strong, frail look about him, for whatever the fuck that means.
15.
All right, so you're able to get there. Please tell me how this looks.
So Eva is going to run up to 4, and because the key's on his back, she's going to spread her wings and flutter the best that she can to catch air to get up on top of 4. And everybody around her sees the wings come out.
Oh, damn. Oh my god, hold on. As you're twisting the key, let me just make some rolls here real quick, because this is going to freak some people out. So you see 6 guards come into view. 3 of them are freaked out. Freaked the fuck out by what they're seeing with your wings, and they basically fall prone. They're just, like, their legs go weak, and they're just, "Oh god, what is that?" So now they have there's this image of this winged champion on top of 4, and 4, you spring to life, and you look around you and you see 6 guards. You see Captain Reams holding a sword, holding a strange looking dagger, covered in these ripped open skin sores. He's seething and he sees you and his eyes just go dark, and then you see Benjamin.
Reams is facing me now, or Reams is still facing the house?
Facing, well, he's got you sort of in between the house and him, yeah.
He was using me as cover, but then he moved in front of me toward the house.
Yes.
So if I come to and Reams is in front of me directly, 4's first and only action is going to drive the sword through Reams' back.
Very cool. Nice. All right, so you come to, and I would like you to make your attack roll.
Yes. And I will make the attack with a boon, thanks to my weapons training.
Ooh.
That is a 17.
A 17. Your sword clangs off of his thick plate armor. He staggers to the side and he looks down. He looks up at you and he gets furious. No! We're in fast turn. Does anybody else want a fast turn? Torel or Eva?
Torel will take another fast turn.
Okay. In front of you, you see 6 guards, 3 of them on the floor, or on the ground, excuse me. One of the standing guards has Benjamin by the arm, and Reams staring at 4 incredulously.
All right. Terrell's going to cast another spell. He's still focused on Captain Reams, and he just says, Est Shren Eka. And I'm going to make an intellect roll versus his will. I got a 14.
Awesome.
Against his will. Hey, succeeds.
I cast Hex again. He is impaired, and any attack rolls I make against him, I get a boon. And that'll last in either 1 minute or until he takes damage.
So there's no further effect other than making him impaired and you get a boon. Right?
Yeah, if I roll over a 20, he would be dazed for a round.
Okay, I'll have to check this later, but I don't believe like that stacks because it's from the same spell.
Yeah, but I damaged him last round.
Right.
So it would have ended it the first time I cast it, so I cast it again just so it's there again.
Thank you. That was great. Well, go ahead, Eva. I'm sorry.
If I have to get down, does it count as a movement? Getting off his back?
No, I'll give you, Well, it'll be a movement. I'll have it be a movement. So you'd have to use a slow... If you could do something from on his back, but yeah, it'd be a movement.
Perfect. I'm taking a slow turn.
You are. Perfect. Okay. Matthias Reams takes a step back, and he grabs the boy from the guard.
Ah, fuck.
Puts him in front of him and sticks the strange-looking dagger onto his neck. Not doing anything yet. But he puts it there and looks at you four, and he says, "Stop!" The other guards, three who are standing, they have pulled their swords out, and they're sort of behind Matthias Reams. For you have a bit of an experience with this. Some of them have looked at Reams strangely at his actions at this moment. And we pop over to slow turns. That's what they do. Eva, slow turns.
Eva is going to jump down. Excuse me. Ooh, that's a good one. Eva is going to flutter her wings as she jumps down.
Establishing some sort of glide maneuver for your character. I love it.
Yeah, she's going to glide down with her wings the best she can. Whatever flesh is remaining is going to flutter. She jumps off four. And I think she's going to go after the boy.
Oh.
I'm going to cast Claws of Darkness again.
12 is your target number.
Yeah, I got a 20! Woo!
Whoa, really?
Ooh, and with a 20, it moved the target 1 yard. It becomes impaired for 1 round. So it says on an attack roll of 20 plus, you move the target 1 yard and becomes impaired for 1 round.
Dang. Oh! And then he gets moved?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a specific direction?
Painfully into Four's sword.
Ooh, I'll take a fortune from each of you to say you move it into the sword, and then...
I'll give you a fortune.
Woo!
Hey, how Love about it. I'll give you another fortune, and little Ben drops to his knees and trips the motherfucker.
Narrative currency. So you're going to give me 2 fortune.
I will give you the only 2 fortune I have.
You're going to clear out your fortune. Eva's going to give me 1 fortune to say she's going to pull him into Four's sword. The second fortune from Four is to say that the boy releases from his grip and trips him. Okay. Keep one of your fortunes. Okay? So you both of you take minus out your fortunes.
Okay.
Because I'm going to give one back to you.
Okay.
Because I'm going to give Reams a roll to keep his grip on the boy. He falls out of his hands. Reams desperately tries to grab onto him as he falls into your sword. So let's do...
That is 9 damage.
All right. I'd like you to tell me what that looks like. Eva, you can start by... I mean, you guys can tell me how that looks.
Eva, go ahead and do your thing.
So Eva starts chanting as she squeezes more blood out from her arm as she casts Claws of Darkness, and these claws just come out and materialize and start raking at the captain. And as they do so, with a final blow, they give him a push that sends him into Four's sword. Eva jumps down from Four with her wings fluttering.
Four's arm is still outstretched from his failed strike against Reams. The blade of his sword is still pointed directly at him. Dark, clawed, twisted hands pull Reams to the edge of the blade, and then slowly move Reams forward, and you can hear the blade pierce the armor on the chest, and then this sickening, slurping noise as the blood just pools around the blade and starts to kind of fountain up as he keeps pulling farther and farther onto the blade.
I love it.
But we also have to work in the fact that the kid's supposed to trip him, right? Or did that work?
And also is that I love it. I want to keep it, but I have to consider that he has not suffered enough damage to kill him yet.
Oh yeah, you can be impaled and not be dead.
True. Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. So this happens, and then he's being tripped and he falls into your sword, he's going to reach back and he's dropped his long sword at this point and he only has the dagger. He's going to reach back with his open hand and try to grab the boy so that he's not left behind. He falls into your sword. He takes the damage and he's going to reach back. He grabs the boy by the arm.
I'm going to blow a fortune. Give him one more bane.
Blowing that fortune. Blowing it hard.
bless you. Okay, he reaches back and grabs Benjamin's shirt, and Benjamin, in a moment of like of just like terror, just wrenches himself free from the grip, and he falls backwards, and Reams goes like further onto your sword, and he just grunts in pain, and Benjamin, for the time being, is now free of Reams' grip. All right, well done. So that was the slow turn. We're going to come back around to fast turns now. And you guys are up with fast turns. If anybody wants to take one.
Tyrell will take one.
He's like to do. Reams is like up on, all up on
four. So was that four's action?
I dig it.
No, or is this a result? No. This is just a result of Danny's attack.
That was a result of Danny's attack and your narrative negotiation. With Fortune. Which I like. I don't know. If you guys don't think that's a cool thing, we can scratch it and we'll...
Yep, works for me.
That's why I do three, because it's like I like to play around with that stuff.
Tyrell just looks back down the stairs of the house he's in and just yells down, "Father Mayhew, if your son is hungry, send him out front."
You turn around and you say that, and you actually notice that Mayhew is in the doorway at the other end of the hallway. And he looks up, and he actually starts moving towards you. Mayhew does. You don't see the ghoul.
Yeah. And then that's all Terrell's really going to do this round.
Okay, cool.
Thor is going to take a fast action, mm-hmm. seeing as the situation that he's currently in.
Hmm.
And Thor is going to attempt to lift Reams, use the arm that he's got the sword, and lift that arm off the ground, and then slam that arm back to the ground.
Okay, very cool. I like it. Let's just wrap that all up into an attack roll. All
right.
I want to say, because it's... I want to throw a Bane on top of that, just okay. because of the way that you're trying to do it. It's not so much a sword attack as it is like a sword attack and slam. If that's okay with you?
Yeah,
it's
good. I have a boon, but then I also will stack the Bane as well. So I'll roll with the boon and then I will add the Bane.
Or do they negate? If you have a boon and a Bane, they just cancel each other out, so you're rolling straight d20 plus strength modifier.
Alright. 18.
18 hits it. On the nose.
Yeah, baby.
Thor lifts up his sword arm, and as he lifts it up, you can see Reams slide closer down the blade toward Thor's torso. Thor looks up at Reams and says, "You should have left the boy alone." And with that, Thor brings the sword straight down to the ground in a chopping motion. And as he does that, Reams' feet hit the ground, and the blade of the sword starts to cut through his armor and cut through his body and torso, and you can hear the sound of this blade slicing through flesh. And then there is a sound of blade hitting metal, and the blade is stopped by some of the lower armor on Reams' body. So the blade stops dead. Reams' knees give a little bit, but he's still standing.
Indeed, Reams, after this horrific damage you've just dealt to him, rears back. He looks at you in your faceplate and he says, "My turn, you infernal metallic thing." And he is going to rear back with his dagger, because he doesn't have his sword, because I said earlier that he dropped it. Ford, do you have any corruption?
No, I don't have corruption. I have a sanity?
Insanity, yeah. So you have zero corruption?
I have zero corruption. Yep.
All right, let's do this. All right, you know.
God damn it. Yeah, he's the oddball in the party.
Yeah.
I am the hooker with a heart of gold.
Roxanne.
He's going to rear back with his blade, and he's going to try to jab it into some of your inner workings. Okay. All right. He sticks the blade up into you. It comes into like your side, or where if you were a human, there'd be your kidneys or whatever.
Well, let's say that there's a seam in the plates, especially because yes. Thor has taken damage. There are some exposed areas.
Okay. He finds the seam from some of the previous attacks you've taken, and he sticks the blade deep into your inner workings, you're going to take 10 damage.
Yeah, four immediately stops moving.
Okay.
Aw, shit.
Four immediately stops moving. Both of you see this. One of the last things you see four as you sort of go unconscious or you go incapacitated is this light begins to flare up in Reem's eyes. And visually, Eva and Torel, you see this orange reddish glow sort of emanate from his skin, and he stands up straighter and his posture improves. And he looks and he looks surprised for a second as he looks up four up and down. And he wrenches the blade free, and now he seems like he's about 3 or 4 inches taller. And he just kind of stands, and he takes a deep breath, and he looks down, and he goes, "All right." He reaches up a hand, and he goes, "Take her! Kill them!"
Oh, fuck no. Uh-uh.
And we move on to the next round.
So Eva is going to run towards the boy with her wings out and grab him and circle her black skeletal wings around him, shielding him, and run into the house. So I guess her action would be to grab him, and then the movement would be running away.
You're not going to make it totally inside the house yet because you had to go forward to get the boy, and then you're going to get back. But I'll say you can get to the door, okay? What is your defense, please?
A 10.
A 10?
Yep.
Okay. You're going to get hit with an arrow.
Well, fuck me. Proper.
You're going to take 4 damage, but you've shielded the boy.
Nice. Ow.
Terrell, someone's trying to get you. I'm going to give him a bane, though, because you're sort of in the doorway. What's your defense?
10.
Okay, nope. He's going to miss. An arrow goes right by your head and sticks into the door jamb. Mayhew is his turn. He's up next to you at this point. And he looks out, and Eva is right at the doorway as well. So the three of you are sort of in this door jam at this point. End of the round. This is where Four can make his throw there as you're incapacitated. All
right, so the fate roll. I roll a d6. On a 1, I start dying. On a 6, I become impaired for a minute. I heal 1 damage as well. Any other number on the 6-sided die means nothing. I will do that after 3 consecutive rounds of being disabled. 4 will then go unconscious for 1 die 3 hours, and you stop making the fate roll. And at the end of that time, you heal 1 damage and become impaired for a minute. The trick is, if I do roll a 1, I'm considered dying. I get another roll. If I roll a 1 again, I'm dead. If I roll a 6, I go back to being disabled. So basically, you have to roll 2 ones in a roll to actually die.
When you are incapacitated, your key stops.
Yep, the key springs. It's like the spring that the key turns pops.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Even if you heal me, I still have to have my key turned before I can be active again.
Yes.
And yep. Neither of you probably know that.
Actually, right. That's a very good point, actually, because would either of them know that, one, and would either of them even know how to heal you when you're an object?
Yep, heal you. But I was conscious when that happened, so I was a creature and it affected me like a normal healing potion. Right now, I'm like a big wooden box.
We're on fast turns.
Terrell's doing fast turn for sure.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to do?
He's going to cast Arcane Armor.
Ooh.
So Terrell turns around and begins just to chant Kandala Adar Masmayat, and his defense goes up by 2.
Nice. How long does that last?
4 hours.
Ooh.
Then he has to see a doctor.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Eva is doing a slow turn.
Yeah, I'm going to do a slow turn. I got to figure this out. I got to get the boy away from here, but I also need to not die. So I want to tell the boy, "Hey, it's okay. Don't worry. The Demon Lord has you. You're safe."
Ooh, I like that.
That kid has seen a lot of shit.
That kid's pretty fucked up. Yeah. Torel, Eva goes by you. Mayhew himself is still standing there. Mayhew actually begins to walk outside of the house by you. And he, with his turn, he will step outside and he will say, Reams, no, this must not happen. Reams is going to take his turn, slow turn. He slowly and painfully, as a matter of fact, I'm going to say this is going to do some more damage to him. He removes himself from Four's sword and he takes some damage. So he pulls himself off, and anyone who can see him sees that he is injured. So he takes a step back, but he trunks himself up, and he stands tall, and he starts marching towards the house and towards Father Mayhew, who is still walking towards him, saying, No, Reams, you mustn't do this. Enough blood has been shed. And Reams marches towards him, and at the end of the round, Reams reaches Mayhew. Four, please to make another fate
roll. Another roll, fate roll. A two, I am still disabled.
You are. We have reached another round. Something noticeable. The men who are with Reams haven't exactly followed his orders. Which I believe Torrell will be the only one who has noticed this.
Okay.
As you're still at the door. So we're on fast turns, Eva and Torrell.
Torrell's going to take another fast turn.
Eva's going to take a slow turn.
Mm-hmm. He looks at Eva. I think you need to get Mayhew's son up here to help us with this. Torrell looks towards the other guards that are coming up that haven't really done a whole lot. And he points right at Reams. And he just yells out, Your captain is a demon.
Ooh.
Do you want to fight with a demon or against one? Join me and strike him down.
I like that.
That's awesome.
Do me a... But you're basically doing an intellect attack on their intellect, on their will.
Yeah, basically. He's basically trying to semi-bluff. I'm going to spend that fortune you just gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Takes me back to zero, because I rolled an 8. So I'm going to go ahead and succeed at that.
All right. Noticeably, the men have sort of changed their posture. Their bows have gone down, and they're looking at each other, sort of looking amongst themselves. There's almost this air of like, you know, what are we if we're not following orders, following rank? But clearly there's something up with Reams. So that's very nice. Eva. The boy is shivering in your arms, in your wing. You sort of like notice him looking around and seeing these bony fleshy bony wings sort of around him, and he's starting to panic a little bit, actually.
No, don't worry. The Demon Lord will save us. The Demon Lord saves us all.
Okay. His head turns a little bit, and he says, What are you talking about?
Why do you think we're still alive? Who do you think gives me my powers?
He huddles amongst himself and his arms come up at what you said, and he just kind of like stays still. We move into slow turns. Mayhew and Reams. Torrell, you took a fast turn, right?
Correct.
Okay, this is what Torrell sees. You're watching Reams reach Mayhew. Mayhew is doing all he can to get in Reams' way. When it's clear to Reams that Mayhew will not get out of his way, Reams rears back, grabs Mayhew by the throat, and jabs the blade up in his gullet and up into his chest cavity and rips it out.
Ew.
There is this massive fissure in Mayhew as just blood and lung and other viscera just come pouring out of his chest cavity. And Reams just takes him and tosses him aside. And Torrell, you see Mayhew's lifeless, destroyed body get flopped down to the side.
Aww.
And Reams himself begins walking towards the house again. One of the men, Torrell, you also see, takes out his sword and starts walking towards the house as well. He quickens his pace a little bit to try to catch up with Reams.
I think Eva is going to take a potion. And then grab the boy and start running downstairs.
You heal your healing rate.
How do I do that?
Yeah, you didn't write... Yeah, it should be... Oh, unless you didn't write it down. Yeah, it's a 1/4 of your health is your healing rate, round down.
Round down, of course.
And then add 2 to that just for the potion. And that's what you heal.
And she is going to run down to the thing and say, "Oh, your dad's up there. Come on out. It's all you can eat buffet." No, she doesn't say that. "It's all you can eat."
There is a shuffling, and you see this creature, you see the ghoul appear in some of these, like the cracks in the walls, the light coming down. You see his skin, you see his vacant eyes, his probing tongue. He looks at you and he gets up close to you, and he kind of like goes to brush past you, and some of your blood gets on his arm, his bare arm, from some of the arrow wounds. And when it hits his arm, he stops. And he looks down, and you look down as well. And there is this mark that is slowly spreading from where your blood touched his skin. He looks down, he looks up at you, and panic strikes into his eyes. And he sprints past you, frightened as all hell. And you probably glance behind you, like he's running past you, looking at like, "What was that?" And as he's heading down the hallway towards Torrell, you see him sort of like start to lose his balance, and he tumbles down on his knee, and there's this smoke that's coming up from his arm, and he gets to the stairway, and Torrell, directly behind you now, is this ghoul. He's clawing his way up the stairs, and he's in this crazed panic, looking for something. And I think that's the end of the round, right? Yeah. So, fate roll.
All right, here we go for this. Here's the last roll.
Come on.
That is a 5. So, okay, so I am now unconscious for 1d3 hours, and I no longer have to make a fate roll, but I'm also just an object, so.
Got it.
You still need your key turned.
Yep.
All right.
So, Torrell, Reams is walking towards you.
Okay.
He's got his strange dagger in his hand. What do you want to do?
Can I see the ghoul running up?
Right next to you. Yep, it's coming up quick.
Torrell looks at the ghoul and points at Reams and just says, "That one killed your father and is cursing us all. If you destroy him, it will bring you closer to being human again." And then Terrell's going to kind of move out of the doorway, mm-hmm. hoping the ghoul will charge Reams.
The ghoul definitely charges out. You see the smoke rising off of the ghoul's arm as it goes by. Not sure where the hell that came from. He comes out, and his head turns to you as you say those words to him, and you see this flicker of recognition as he sort of scans and he sees Mayhew's body on the ground, and this unearthly screech comes out of his mouth, and he looks at Reams and he just throws his body at him. And Torrell, what you see is you see this ghoul just tackle Captain Reams, take him to the ground, and there is this struggle that's going on between the two. The other guard who is behind him has come up and reached the point where this wrestling match is going on, takes out his sword and is actually going to try to strike the ghoul, because now he himself looks like he's panicking a little bit. And the guards behind him as well are looking... Yeah, there's a few of them that are looking freaked out at the sight of this ghoul.
Okay. Terrell looks back at Eva. "I have no more offensive spells. Do you?"
I might have one left.
"Now is the time to use it."
Eva shakes her head.
And then Terrell kind of just steps out of the way.
"Eva.
Hateful defecation."
Yeah, I want to cast hateful defecation.
Go ahead and tell us all about hateful defecation.
I'm going to read the spell? Okay.
Hateful defecation. One living creature with a physical body within medium range. The target's guts twist and rumble noisily. If the target's health is 10 or less, it dies instantly. Streams of blood and feces gushing from all of its orifices.
If its health is 10 or higher, make an intellect attack roll against the target's strength. In a success, the target takes 1d6 plus 2 damage and becomes dazed for one round as its guts violently and spectacularly expel their contents. If this damage incapacitates the target, excrement, organs, and blood explode from its body, which instantly brings about its death.
Love it. Go ahead and make that against his strength, which is, fortunately, his best.
Ooh, does an 18 hit?
Damn. Yeah, it works.
All right. So Eva looks at him and starts chanting, De lo corte dado,
demono destate. You are going to kill him with this? So please describe, and then I'll take the ghoul after that.
Get him, Danny!
As Eva does her chant and she casts hateful defecation on this asshole, the hole that forehead made in his stomach, his intestines just start to roll out into his hands as he's holding them, and then they start to rumble and swell like swollen sausages, and then they just are exploding and popping as blood and pus and feces explode everywhere, and it's like a bomb. Pieces of shit just goes everywhere, all over everybody around him, and it hits in his face, and blood comes from his eyeballs and comes from his ears, and his mouth starts foaming, and the rest of his body just starts convulsing as all the fluids swell out of his pores, and he explodes into one pile of nasty flesh, flinging, raining chunks of flesh from the sky down upon everybody. Demon Lord, be praised!
It is, and also he's on the ground on his back with a ghoul on top of him.
As the flesh spills down, you see the ghoul opening his mouth and opening his hands and starting shoving like the chunks of flesh and shit and everything you can imagine into his mouth as it's raining just glorious desiccated flesh into his mouth.
So the ghoul gets bathed in this. Like it's a mess. And it sort of distracts him from what's going on with his arm as he's covered in all the things he loves, and he just starts feasting. It is a grotesque display of gluttony from a ghoul. And he goes to town. And he continues to go to town until he's satisfied. And then he looks over at Mayhew. And then he crawls over to Mayhew and starts consuming him. He starts ripping parts off of him, taking the flesh and sticking it into his mouth. And now this ghoul is just covered in everything that he loves.
Seems very appropriate.
Torel and Eva, I'd like will challenge rolls, please.
Oh, fuck.
Anyone who fails gets insanity.
I got a 19.
No one failed. Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyone who fails joins in.
Yeah. It is an orgy of ghoulish behavior. So, Reams is dead. He's exploded. The guards are trying to, like, pick themselves up, but a lot of them are just so sickened by what they're seeing. The one guard that had followed Reams sort of, like, is trying to keep himself together, and he looks to go to strike the ghoul. Unless anybody stops him, if not, he's going to kill the ghoul.
Terrell just simply says, "That is one of my lesser pets. This is your chance to run before I call one of my bigger pets to take care of you."
Gonna need a roll. Intimidation type thing.
I rolled a 17.
Okay, yeah, to get that beats his will. He looks at you, he looks down, you see him put his hand on his stomach and kind of and the smell now is starting to just permeate through the area, and he calls out a command to the rest of the men to retreat, to back off. And they all start to get up and move away from the area. They're getting out of the area for now. And perception challenge roll.
Nope.
Nope? Okay, cool.
I rolled a 2, add in my whole 3, so I rolled a 5.
In that case, Eva.
Yes.
Give you a will challenge roll with 3 Banes.
3? Yum. Okay. Here we go. Oh, my fuck.
Did you roll a goddamn 20?
No. Oh, fucking A. I failed, but all 3 of my Banes were 6. Ooh. For 6, 6, 6. Well,
in a game of Shadow of the Demon Lord, so technically that's a good thing?
Right. The power of Schwab protect Eva. Right? 6, 6, 6? Fuck. This can't be good.
We'll do this from Terrell's view.
Oh, boy.
Terrell, you turn to see Eva, and she straightens up and turns around, and something about her doesn't look the same. Eva, your surroundings go dark. They go black. And frantically, you look around as if, have I been blinded? What is going on? And from all around you, you hear your grandmother's voice. You all seem to be missing the point. I believe I will take it from here, my dear. And you feel frozen. You are surrounded in darkness. I need another will challenge roll from you with 3 Banes.
3. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have a fortune point left?
Will it help if I burn a fortune?
Do you have one?
It might be.
I would say no because I'm Danny and I don't get fortune, but Eva doesn't get fortune, but I think I do have one.
It's going there regardless. You failed the roll. It just depends on how bad.
No, you want to know what? Fuck it.
Are you going to spend the point
to succeed? This is the Demon Lord's will. Let's just do it. I fail again.
Eva, you go mad. Put your insanity at your will score for now. So Eva's insanity has reached her will score. Excuse me. Which is what, Eva?
10.
In the current situation that you're in, you are now frozen, seemingly in time. You're surrounded by darkness that you feel around you. It's not just a visual thing. It's something is encasing you. And you're getting out in the distance of this blackness. You're sort of getting these little puffs of images. And it's the house that you're in. You see it. But it's your grandmother is not letting you see what's going on. She has taken over your body. And in this moment, you become horrifyingly aware that your grandmother is a demon and has possessed you and has had possessed you almost this entire time. Since the moment that you killed your brother, your grandmother has been inside of you. Whether or not you noticed it, whether or not you saw it is inconsequential because in this moment you are so powerless, you can't do anything. She has taken you over. And you're alone. You're as alone as you've felt in your entire life. Yet, you could see people, and now you can't see anything. You just get whiffs. You get hints of what's going on outside of your body, and you have zero control. Torrell.
Yes.
Eva, looking completely different, walks by you. Her head turns to you, and in a voice that you do not recognize, in a cadence you don't recognize, she says, "You fools don't get it." And she walks right past you, out the door. She's just going through all the viscera. It's splashing up on her legs. Reaches down, and you see her move, rooting through things, and all this is just getting all over her. And she takes the dagger that Reams had. She holds it in her hand, and she turns to you, and she says, How did you miss this?
I did not miss it. I was going to go retrieve it once the ghoul was out of the way. And once I made sure Eva was safe.
Can you tell me why she continues to be as naive as she is?
Terrell smiles and looks at her. Because that's how we like to keep her.
Tales of Blood and Stone is played using the Shadow of the Demon Lord system by Schwalb Entertainment. For more information, delve into the darkness at schwalbentertainment.com. If you enjoyed the music you heard during this episode, head over to battlebards.com for even more.